Okay, let's do it like this. So any more handouts?
You need them?
Yeah.
There you go.
So one. So handouts? Everybody?
And the other one is our appendixes, so just for reference on the text. So I will present some insights out of the project towards the reconstruction of the Guang gender system. And one might ask whether one can really speak of a gender system in Guang, because descriptions of Guang languages claim that Guang languages have an elaborate nominal prefix system, but no agreement system. So that would mean there is no gender system at all. But and that was, for instance, said by Dakubu, 1988. But new data have shown that this is not the whole story. There are languages that show Guang languages that show a more Bantu-like agreement system. And this can be shown in example one, which comes from Folo, Mountain Okinawa's Guang language. And what you can basically see here, that in the noun phrase, the head comes first, so it's a head initial language, followed by the adjective, and then by the indefinite pronoun here. And basically, these four examples represent four different agreement classes, as can be seen on the indefinite marker, which show du, a, su, bu. But these four agreement classes are triggered by three different noun forms. So we have, on the one hand, very clear alliterative forms in agreement marking in example 1a, but example 1b shows that the same noun form can trigger, namely the noun form n, can trigger two different agreement classes. On the one hand, su, if one deals with a plural noun, and bu, if one deals with a transnumeral noun. So, this shows that despite strong alliterative tendencies in Folo and other Guang languages, the prefixes on the nouns and on agreement tiles are not necessarily identical, so one cannot infer one out of the other. So, as we have already said, if one tries to reconstruct the nominal classification system of a language, one has to integrate the agreement system and the noun form system. And that is what we are doing on the project. And let me first say some words on Guang languages itself. Guang languages belong to the Po Tu Tanu branch of the Kwa group within Niger Congo, and they are spoken mainly in Ghana, and they are starting from the south, so along the coast or at some scattered areas on the coastal area, and but go for, far north, I would even say, within Ghana. And there are two outliers, the two Guang languages that are not spoken in that coherent Guang language speaking area, that is Fodo and Chongoli, which are spoken in Beni, so far away from the Guang language area. And we have basically, within Guang, we group together 18 languages, 14 from the Northern Guang group, and for Southern Guang languages, and the languages which are given in bold here, for these languages I have data used within the reconstruction, and those which are bold and in italics, for those I only have information on the noun form marking. And the reconstruction is basically based on an 80 word list collected for nearly all languages, and this 80 word list is based on the Lighted Jakarta list, and we added some West African vocabulary. So then we established cognates for every word and compared these with symphonic data. Okay. More on Guang. It's in Guang languages, SVO languages. They are all tone languages. This, I think most of them have two tonings, a low and a high tone, and prefixes are set or are reconstructed as low by Snyder, and that was also supported by Plunkett. And what is very important for the reconstruction of the nominal classification system is that there are three different types of vowel harmony at work, and we heard already a lot about vowel harmony in Igbo languages, but the vowel harmony we find here in Guang is on the one hand one that is based on the ATR distinction, but then another kind of vowel harmony considers the rounding feature of a vowel, and also vowel height plays a role, at least in some of the Guang languages. So what I'm going to talk about today is I would like to present the reconstructed gender and the reflection system of Proto-Guang, will outline some of the challenges I've encountered during reconstruction, and compare the new reconstruction, which is based on nominal morphology and agreement forms, with the two already existing ones, namely Manasseh, 1987, and Snyder, 1988. And yeah, might give some first indications for possible reconstruction of greater Niger Congo. But at least this last point is very much a work in progress, so we still have to think about more about it. Okay, so now I come to part two, the comparison of the nominal classification in synchronic Guang languages. And so first of all, I would like to give a general overview. And as I already said, contrary to Dakubu, Snyder, and Manasseh, we find an agreement system in all Guang languages. And that, if you could look at the appendix table A3, shows you the different agreement systems in modern Guang languages. And what you can see, so I don't go into any detail for these agreement systems, that is the page 18. So I don't want to go into any detail here, but a simple look at all these systems shows already that the agreement systems within Guang are quite diverse, or highly diverse. So we have a full-fledged system found in Fodo, and on the other hand, a very simple system just consisting of two genders, mainly in the southern languages. And these simple languages are based on, are semantically oriented, and the two genders differentiate animate and inanimate nouns. So, on the one hand, we have this Fodo system, which is, but the other system, the Fodo system, is semantico-morphologically based, so we have a much more fine-grained semantic differentiation of agreement here. And that agreement system, is very similar to the system defined in the noun forms. We come to the noun forms. That is table A2, so page 17. And if you look at these tables, at this table, and compare that maybe with the agreement systems in synchronic one, then one can already also see, without going into detail, that consistently the reflection systems are much more complex than the gender systems. That is, in most languages, the number of noun form classes and the reflections is higher than that of the agreement classes and genders. Page 17. And the kind of system is different. The reflection systems are highly crossed, and gender systems are parallel and crossed, more or less. So there's no such a lot of crossing there. So back to the table, back to the text then. In table one, I give an overview on gender and reflection in one, and what it shows basically is that the systems are highly diverse, but it gives more details here. So based on the assumption that gender and reflection systems once set out as one system, so the first rough conclusion we can have by just looking at these systems would be, probably there are not so many changes and differences in the synchronic reflection systems compared to reconstructed one observable, and most important changes affect the gender system. I now come to point 2.2, that is a detailed comparison, and here again I only want to point to some challenges I encountered during reconstruction. But before I come to the challenges, there are of course some unambiguous cases which are easy to reconstruct, and these are given in table 2. These four noun form classes are basically identical in all modern languages and can therefore be reconstructed on a firm basis. So that concerns the noun form 0. Which is retained in all languages, and only in Fodo we find a variation with the kibi prefix. Prefix O is retained as such in many languages. Gonda has changed it to E, and in Chiapong and Anumbosu, these are two southern languages, O becomes A, and for K we have also some differentiation, but basically it's the same. So in Gichule, Ginyanga, Naruri, there's a voicing of the onset consonant that gives ga, and in some languages also the vowel changes. Konya, we have a reduction of the this form, first with a vowel change and then the onset consonant dropped. And that is also observable in Tsutulake and Anun. Okay, so then we turn the page and come on page 5, to the allomorphy of prefixes and reconstruction. And here in table 3, I have given you possible allomorphs of different noun forms. And I would like to point you point your attention to the prefixes K with a high vowel and compared to K with R, also K, and also to E and R. So these two pairs are most interesting. As you can see, at some points, due to vowel harmony, there's some overlapping in form. So we can have in modern languages the prefix K with a high vowel can have a reflex as K, and this K we find also as reflex of K, and similar to for the other two prefix forms. So that is, vowel harmony really plays an important role in that group of languages, and normally it takes plays across the same vowel height for ATR and rounding harmony, and that is not so much difficult. But mid vowels play a crucial role as they belong to, in some cases, to high vowels. Mm-hmm. So, but in others, to low vowels. So if the stem vowel has, for instance, an R, then the prefix car with a high vowel would get a reflex as car or k or something like that. And but if the stem vowel would be from the mid vowel, then we would get one step higher, let's say, then the reflex would be ku or ku, ki and ki, and so on. So when reconstructing these forms, one really has to look to take into consideration the vowel quality of the nominal root. And let me now come first to the KV prefixes. So that is an onset consonant K with some vowel. And for Gonja, for instance, Painter established only one single prefix of that form in that language. But if one really looks at the examples and the words, one has to say at least two underlying prefixes have to be reconstructed, namely a prefix K and a prefix with a high vowel. And yeah, as I already said before, K can be easily reconstructed and differentiated in modern languages, so I think that's not such a problem. The real problem concerns the prefix K with a high vowel, because here is apart from this vowel height harmony which occurs, there's also the question that the rounding harmony might blur the origin of these of this prefix. So the question is always in reconstructing whether this K with a high vowel can be reconstructed as ki or as ku, basically. And so might well be that this K high vowel prefix is a merger of ki and ku, and both ki and ku are reconstructed for Proto-Bantu and Proto-Benuel Congo. And I've tried to figure out whether the nouns which can be found give any hint for any explanation whether we are dealing here with just one prefix, K high vowel, or whether we can have any strong evidence to posit even two different prefixes for one. And so these reflexes of these prefixes I've given in table 4. And what you see here, so the first group of examples, there's one that might be a reflex of the former key prefix. And that is the only word I have as neck. And as you, when you look at all these examples in the different languages, the prefix is ku, and okay, and that ku might be influenced by the round mid vowel of the stem. So I have no idea about it. And if one compares it with ear, for instance, which, yeah, if one believes in the reconstructions of Mösen and Devolf, would be clearly an instance for a reconstructed prefix or proto prefix ku, then we have the same form, so it's kusu, there's no clear difference, so there's still a problem. One kind of languages which could give a hint would be something like, would be a language that, like Chirapong. And because in Chirapong we have as reflex of this K V prefix a high vowel, not rounded, for P, and for the instances of Q, the prefix vowel would be rounded. So that might be a hint, but on the other hand, Nikonia is a firm counterexample to that hypothesis, so I still don't know what's going on. And for the time being, we just reconstruct for Proto-Guan one prefix K with a high vowel, and besides the car prefix. And but this interplay of vowel harmony and yeah, and therefore also merger of possible merger of proto prefixes might also be responsible for some unusual dereflections we find in the languages. So we have normally we have a dereflection car with plural n, and dereflection car high vowel with r. And but there's also the there are also other vocables possible. So car car with r and the k v prefix with an n. So it's somehow crossed. And similar observations can be made for the differentiation of prefixes R and E, and as both have prefixes, have reflexes as E in modern languages. And maybe these prefixes can be traced back to, okay, R is very similar, very easy, can be traced back to class 6 of Proto, Bantu, whatever, and that is seen in table 5. So no problem in all Guang languages. R is attested everywhere in Chiapong. It occurs as E in these cases, and where there's no word given in these languages, there's no differentiation, number differentiation for body parts, basically. On the other side, we find table 6. Which tries to give reflexes of E, which might go back to N in modern Guang languages. And here, in most photo, Nichule, and yeah, photo and Nichule show always an E prefix. And Konya is somehow not clear. It, there's variation between E and N, but Late again has an E prefix. So if we look at these things, then we E does not mean E, so we really have to yeah, look at single languages and reflections there. Okay, so the next point I want, I would like to discuss is the special, especially rich noun form and agreement class inventory, which we find in Fodo. And as you might remember, Fodo is a language spoken in Benin, so far away from the Guang-speaking area. And Fodo displays the most complex classification system of all Guang languages. And especially it has three noun form and also three agreement, two noun form and three agreement classes that are not attested in the other languages. Three noun form agreement classes, and the third one is only an agreement class that are not attested in the other languages. And that agreement class is two is a clear innovation, and it is based, and it's, it was developed out of a derivative element tor, which is used for abstract nouns. And I won't go into detail here, but the status of the other two noun form and agreement forms is unclear. That is, on the one hand, a prefix D, or an agreement form D, and the second one is the form Bu, or yeah, in agreement and noun form again. Both of these forms are were already reconstructed for Proto-Benue Congo and Proto-Bantu, and so the question is whether these two forms are inherited in Fodo and and got lost in the other Guang languages, or whether they are newly developed in Fodo. So there were two possible scenarios we could be seeing. On the one hand, as Fodo is, had no contact to other Guang languages for about 300 years, it could well be possible that Fodo is the most conservative language because of its isolated development far away from this area, and even more because it's really spoken in only one town in Benin. And but on the other hand, it could also well be that Fodo is the most innovative language within Guang and has innovated these prefixes because of contact to other languages, and here especially Wu languages. Let me come first to prefix D. Here again, I would say that the quality of the vowel is a high vowel, and because of uniform harmony, it can be D or DU, and ATR harmony then gives further possibilities. And in table, in the appendix, in table 6, that is the last, on the last page, you find an overview over some of the reflexes of this form in different Guan languages. And there are mainly two groups of words. There's in the first group, which is quite big, you can see that the form D with a high vowel has reflexes of key in the other languages, and so K high vowel in the other languages. And on the second, but the second group of examples shows that nevertheless, photo also has a form K high vowel. And so and there are some correspondence sets for this group, for this prefix also in photo. In both cases, these are only the noun forms. In both cases, so for D high vowel and D high vowel, the agreement would be the same. So there's alliterative agreement. Okay, and what is also important is there's no clear differentiation between these two groups of nouns. So I don't know exactly, and both have body parts in it. But also some animals or animal related things in it, and yeah. So it's quite diverse, and it's not clear what was going on here. And what is important is that no other language has such nominal forms, except maybe we can find some reflexes that are lexicalized, fossilized forms in some languages. So we have, for instance, for cornea, we have a prefix lu for transnumeral nouns, and like salt and oil, and we have also reflex d and le or de in other languages. But again, so it's not clear whether these are going back to former prefixes. So the question is, what is the direction of change? When I see reconstructed a form D, reconstructed form D for Proto-Bantu as polymer agreement, and Mia et al. In 2007-2012 reconstructed it also for Proto-Bur. And the plural would also be some reflex of the class ga, ka, or a. And the meaning embraces something like egg, head, name, and so on. Besides, that is those nouns that are also included in this agreement class in photo. Given that evidence, we could say that this prefix can clearly be analyzed as inherited feature of gender and of the gender and reflection system. Of a former gender reflection system. And photo has retained that morpheme. On the other hand, if you look at the influence or area influence of other languages on photo, then the area where it is spoken, that is in northern Benin, near the Atacora Mountains and surrounding regions where the language is spoken, photo got in contact with several Gur languages. From these Gur languages, Tem is the most important one because there are really strong even kinship relations with Tem-speaking people. And other possible contact languages are Ditamari or different Atacora languages. I have chosen here Ditamari, but also Miyoge or Yom could be in contact there. But if we, in table 7, I compared photo nouns with this prefix to possible contact languages. And so even though the contact with Tem is really close, there are not really so many clear yeah, cognate forms or places where we could have an influence of, from TEM on photo. The clearest case for all these things is the word for no, name. Oh God, oh sorry. So it's name, which has the same form in all languages and has also prefix or suffix D that depends on the language. Tooth is as well a good example, and seat and would be similar in photo and miobe. But the counter example is, for instance, the word for mouth, which has also a D prefix in Vita Marie and miobe, but in photo it has this key prefix. So, so in my view, there's no clear indication that the prefix D with the high vowel came via contact into the system of photo. The second morpheme I would like to look at is prefix B with a high vowel, again rounded or not rounded. And this is in photo exclusively used for infinitives, so you have examples in two. The action of greeting, bidano, or action of chasing, bija. And other Guarani languages, again, use the prefix P with a high vowel for this class. And that is also the one which is, can be found in some Bantu languages for the indication of verbal nouns. And yeah, that it is given given the fact that photo also has a key prefix, one could also think of that photo once had both prefixes for indicating verbal nouns and generalize them. The prefix is BB. That would be one idea. Another one would be, again, to look at the contact languages. And here, again, we find all the three contact languages I've looked at show a reflex of bu in the noun form and in the increment form. So in Vita Marie, the form is mu, mu, and bio, mio, the p, and in TEM is an e, and this increment b. So, again, it could be contact, but it could as well be an inherited feature of the language. So, never, given, having said that, I must also say then we decided to reconstruct both of these morphemes as belonging to the proto-system of Guang, so as that seeing photo as a more conservative system. And if we assume that, then we could, that's what is given in the next figure, then we had to assume that in the other Guang languages, and basically in the Oti North Guang languages, three different, at least three different prefixes merged into just one prefix in these languages. So that is the prefix with D with a high vowel, K with a high vowel, and B with a high vowel merged into just one K with a high vowel prefix. So we can observe a loss of noun form classes and a following reorganization of the reflection system and also the agreement system of today's languages, and this resulted in strongly crossed systems. A further observation we could make for the dereflection system is that there's no prefix bar in the dereflection system. In most Guang languages, the only Guang language that has such a system is Guanja, which shows a prefix B with some kind of vowel, so it's not even bar. But in all other languages, bar seems to have merged with A, and or even changed them and got another vowel quality. Again, the fact of Guanja could be due to contact to Wu languages, but on the other hand, a counter argument to that is that in most modern languages, in the agreement system defined agreement form bar that was retained for plural nouns referring to animals or humans. So bar must have been part of the gender and data reflection system of Proto-Hawaiian. And in four, I've just given you some examples which again show that on the one hand, the merger of bar and a, so we have a noun like anim, men, and ache, beans, so these belong to the same noun form class, but they have different agreements, namely anim has agreement with ba, anim baku, and whereas for beans we would have agreement with a. So we can observe the merger which resulted in one noun form class, but on the other hand we have two different agreement classes in most languages. Maybe to wrap up, but we started a bit later. So. On tables A2 and A3, you also found right in the right corner this reconstructed system for Proto-Hawaiian. One's the reflection system, and on the other hand, the agreement system. And these two systems are taken up again in table 8 of the handout. And here they are compared to the proto system as reconstructed by Minor C and the one reconstructed by Snyder. And before I come to these two things, basically, what we reconstructed, or our reconstruction of the Proto-Hawaiian gender and the reflection system follows the premise laid out by Snyder that it would be good to assume that the Proto-Hawaiian language, Proto-Hawaiian nominal classification system had a system at least as complex as the most complex present day Hawaiian language, and that is Proto. So therefore, we reconstructed as like that. Even though some of them have an ideal status. Thus, Proto-Hawaiian must have had 11 different noun forms and 9 agreement forms, and the difference in number goes back to the fact that for noun forms we have a 0 marked form reconstructed, which triggers different agreements in the languages. And we have a special plural form, Anna or Anne, again reconstructed, which is probably derived from an associative plural. And these two forms were not reconstructed for Proto-Bantu and Proto-Benue-Congo, but represent an important part of the reflection system in most modern languages. And what can also be seen from the two systems is that nearly every noun form class and agreement class occurs with more than one single number value. Thus, it has to be assumed, as Tom already said, that in the proto system these morphemes did not have a clear number specification. If one compares these reconstructed forms now with Manasi and Snyder, let me start with Snyder. Snyder 1988 is really a sound reconstruction of the Guang system, which was based on a large scale lexical comparison of 9 languages. In some cases, he also included agreement features, but is not methodologically clear in all this respect. This system really resembles the system reconstructed for the reflection system, with the only difference that he did not have access to data from photos, so D and U are not included. And the other difference is Dyson's effect, that he reconstructed noun for what we would say is E. He reconstructed it as E. As N, sorry. And I don't want to say much about Manasi, but obviously, Manasi did not consider allomorphic variation in these languages, so therefore he has given a lot of allomorphic variants of just one prefix, like for car, he has given car and k and r, which would be the adjustment prefix. Okay, to wrap up, Rwanda, which is shared with Niger Congo, an extensive NAUTA system, this including all the agreement in the full range of targets, whereby the different Rwandan languages differ also in the number of targets. And the comparison of both systems has shown that they develop differently and independently from each other. And but nevertheless, they have to be reconstructed as elaborated system, and thus representing a slightly simplified version of an assumed proto-Benue Congo NAUTA system. Okay, and I leave out the rest and we'll stop here.
Possibly we can take up something in the discussion if you have 12 minutes. So, but questions, comments?
So in let's see, this is table two. You've got the examples of the zero form.
Yeah.
How prevalent is that?
So the zero forms in these languages are mainly animals.
Mm.
So that is, I think, a very strong group in all Guang languages.
Mm-hmm.
And another strong group are loan words, okay, as in the normal words that belong to that group with the zero prefix,
mm-hmm.
Loan words and proper names and so on, but basically it's animals. And then
kinship
we have
terms?
And kinship terms sometimes, yeah. Yeah.
Oh. And so if you then look at the nasal that
mm-hmm.
appears,
yeah.
What is that associated with? Any consistency, just like you have with the zero form? Maybe not the same class, but...
The nasal, you mean? Okay, at least we have a nasal prefix and nasal agreement form mm-hmm. in every language, but as it looks like, they belong to, or they have to be reconstructed differently. In some cases, this nasal is just, it comes out from this transnumeral form for liquids,
mm-hmm.
and so, and then has mm-hmm. taken over also a function of a plural class marker.
Mm-hmm.
But in some cases, so then there's a relation between plural form N and plural form E, which is not so clear in the languages. So in Konya we have seen that there's also variation in one language just before that.
The reason I guess I ask is because in the Edoid languages there's no zero and there's no nasal.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere.
Oh. Okay, no nasal.
No nasal prefix and no zero prefix. You can shift vowels. You can
uh-huh.
do all kinds of things with vowels.
But you know, I think the vowel phenomenon in Kwa languages is related to some phonotactic constraints. I mean, and I think
at some point.
And so I think that there are no zero nouns is due to the phonology of the language or
mm-hmm.
the phonology of the non-noun lexicon. So I think this is not not evidence for the fact that the Proto-Niger Congo did not have prefixless nouns.
No, I don't think that.
I thought you were going
in
that
not
direction.
Thinking that. My question is that if and I'm assuming that Proto-Niger Congo had some of these,
mm-hmm.
at least the nasals or something.
Yeah.
But when you get to this Edoid group,
yeah.
they all. I mean, I agree that there's some. Right now, some constraint that's active that says no nasal as a prefix, no nasal as the initial vowel of a non-alternating form, and no zero
mm-hmm.
as well. And when I look at the map and try to see where you find nasals and where you find the zeros, where I find them is along the coast. something that was brought up a little earlier in the discussion. And why it is that you have this group of languages that wouldn't have any of these is maybe something to be explored further.
But I think that point is interesting because in the Central African rainforest you have similar phenomena of minimal word constraints and which eventually kind of messing up or interact with the morphological affix system. And so, well, I in the book that was published recently, I say something about the possible geographical, the meaning of the geographical distribution of certain noun classification systems in Niger Congo and geography. So, and there's an article by John McWhirter who argues that Kwa languages are the result of heavy substrate. And I think, yes, I think when Niger Congo lineages entered the rainforest area, actually multiple times independently, so the, the coastal belt in West Africa and the Central African rainforest, a lot of the degradation of the noun class system has to do with second language acquisition and reshaping the system. And the good retention of the system is really close to the savanna area or where there is no rainforest, the Dahomey gap and things like that. There is definitely a geographical factor to the degree of retention of.
A very small question. It's not about the system, but about the reconstruction. Like in table four, you have the languages with these prefixes that are reconstructed with curve. Well, in each other, the prefix are with G, so with G. So why the reconstruction has the voiceless stop? I mean, it's, I mean, phonologically, you wouldn't expect it in the initial. Rather than voicing, so just what's the...
I think it's common enough to get voicing. There are some Jola languages that get curved with go and prefixes, right?
Yes, in Banjali, they have go instead of curve.
I mean, how do you...
There's a weakening of some braille, a pretty hard weakening, right? For
and I was also see that as weakening, so you have a voiceless prefix that gets voiced and then gets lost.
I mean, the weakening rather goes when the cage disappears, we got the global stop rather than becoming.
Aerodynamically, go is very marked. I mean, it's strange to think of it as weakening.
Dark, for example, in your
lab. No, but it's also.
Okay, so this voicing only takes part in one group of Huang languages, namely this Otinos. I think in mountain Otinos, only in that mountain Otinos group, and there it is an innovation, I would say. In all other languages, we would rather go for a voiceless stop. So I mean, that was it.
Just wondering, was it, I mean, wasn't it influenced by proto-band reconstruction that you have K there?
And
I think with the key class, well, Ines said it. We are not sure actually that whether we should reconstruct the key class. But the Ku class is pretty robust. This is a very old Niger Congo feature. You can even find words. I mean, the word for arm, the Ku Akla in Bantu Ku class, this is found here. So, and I think the Ku class, I think it's a voiceless consonant across the board.
And I would also come back to Ku and Ki and D classifier from Bantu. We had the same problem in Goa, but only a small number of languages. There was eventually we could differentiate between Ku and Ki, but we decided not Ki. But I remember my article, a comparative article on Goa and Plateau. And Plateau has only Ki and no Ku. And this is, there seems to be a little bit error evidence. And the same to class 5. In Goa, there are many If there are only three genders, single plural, it is the one, two, and a Q, and X plural, and D. But D is always preserved in all the new and all central plural, always. But not. If we think of Bantu, it is also very weak class. Five is very very weak class, and so there seems to be some error concentration of preferring this class marker or that class marker. But Q and P, we have the same problem. But the most languages had Q, and Q seems to be has stronger evidence than P.
I think it's great how the dereflection and gender systems are laid out in tables 2 and 3 in the appendix, and especially in languages like these where they're so different in the synchronic languages, it's obviously, as you say, important to present them separately.
Yeah.
But interestingly, in your reconstructions, of course, the systems are nearly identical, right? It's the addition of the unprefixed and the suffix. Do you think it's safe to say, as I certainly assume probably most people assume, that the original systems for most Niger-Congo groups, there would have been very little difference between the dereflectional affixes and the gender-agreeing affixes, and that it's always a case of breaking down as opposed to starting from having differences and then making them look more similar?
Yeah, that is our assumption. So we would say that they started as one system, more or less, and then developed differently. That is
so in a sense, I mean, those who have read our article, it's a bit ironical. We insist to distinguish between agreement classes and noun form classes, and not rely on noun form classes for the reconstruction. I think yes, that we still think that, but in the end, it's still true. For getting really deep into some families, one has to look at the dereflection because they retain more of the inherited morphology. So in this sense, well, we don't say that explicitly, actually, but this is more like a typological paper that should be taken apart and should be separated. But for the reconstruction, it turns actually out that the dereflection tells us a little more about the inherited system because it's simply more conservative, and the gender system happens to be restructured much more often and does not retain the old things. Yeah, that's definitely the finding so far.
One question. What about Anna, the suffix? Mm-hmm. Is this a kinship term, or human beings' kinship?
Yes.
That is also sometimes found in work.
The interesting thing, actually, an additional plural marker for humans is rampant in Niger-Congo. And so we, whether they are always cognate, we wouldn't go that far, but one can actually think this is at least something that is kind of prone to develop, or possibly actually was an old feature and I mean, usually it's really an associative plural which becomes an unmarked plural and kind of is integrated into the overall marking system. I think even the in Limba, this plural suffix, I think it's likely to have started as an associative plural as well and then generalized as a number marker additionally and then kind of...
Yeah, and Gonja one can observe that it really takes over more and more the function of a general plural marker. So it's not only with kinship terms and with zero mark terms, but also with quite a number of other terms.
It comes up everywhere in war, like if you are cooking marmalade, it comes up there and there and there.
Okay, it's 3 o'clock, and let's try to keep more or less to the schedule. And it's the next talk by Dimitri and Mark on the relation between noun form classes and the human class in Adamauer and beyond. Do you need help?
Yeah.